Just a quick question for AGP if we're ready to go, and then also for Wendy if we have all the council members here. Very good.
Channel 20 is live.
I do not see Karen yet.
Okay. Okay, so we are down one council member at the moment. So let's slowly but surely, I will go ahead and call to order our Grover Beach City Council meeting for Monday, December 7th, 2020. It is 6 o'clock. And as this call to order, I will let folks know that in compliance with the state and county shelter at home orders, meetings are being held by teleconference until further notice. This meeting can be viewed on Channel 20 and is available on live streaming on the county's website, the city's website, and at www.slow-span.org. Members of the public may provide public comment during the course of the meeting by calling in at 805-366-39, and those phone lines are open now. So as we continue to work our way through the meeting, I will ask that everyone join me in a moment of silence, please, as we remember December 7th, 1941, otherwise known as Pearl Harbor Day, where 2,403 Americans died 79 years ago. And please join me in a moment of silence as we remember and honor their sacrifice. Thank you for joining me in that moment of silence. So now, Chief Peters, I didn't get a moment to ask you beforehand, but you've always been good and willing to do the flag salute. So if you would lead us, please.
Okay, everybody place your right hand over your heart and repeat along with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Chief. I appreciate that. So, and that will take us to our roll call. So, City Clerk Sims, if you would, please.
Councilmember Lance?
Here.
Councilmember Shaw?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright?
Here.
And Mayor Lee?
I am here as well. So we do have a quorum, so we can proceed. So let's proceed to our closed session announcements. I don't think we have any, but I'll just turn to our City Attorney Hale to confirm that, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, this evening we do not have any closed session announcements to make.
Very good. Thank you for that. That will take us to our agenda review. And I know there is some information that the city manager would like to share with us. But before he shares that, I just want to let the audience know that the city council will review the order of business to be conducted and receive requests or make announcements regarding any changes in the order of the day. And we will then, by motion, adopt the agenda as presented or as revised. So let me turn it over to our city manager for a request.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. Staff is requesting that the council move item number 6, which is the COVID-19 response update and business grant assistance, on the consent calendar to be heard at the end of the council meeting, given new information since the agenda was posted.
Very good. I appreciate that. Is there any other requests of the council to make a change in the order of the day? If not, I'll go ahead and accept a motion to for agenda review to proceed as modified.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Very good. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Very good. We will proceed as modified. Thank you, Mr. Bronson. So I am going to turn this over to the ceremonial calendar, where we do have the introduction of several new city employees in the Police and Public Works Department. I will turn it over to Chief Peters. But before I do that, I do, in case for those that are watching on Channel 20, we do have a special guest that is in the audience with us this evening, and we will be hearing from Santa during public communications. So with that, Chief Peters, I would like to turn the ceremonial calendar over to you for introduction of some new city employees.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's my pleasure tonight to introduce to the council and to the community three new employees that have started working in the recent months here at the police department. I'll go ahead and start with first new employee is Lauren Finkbeiner. Lauren joins us from the Dallas, Texas, where she spent 3 years working as a crime analyst for the Mesquite Police Department. She has a master's degree in social data and analytics, and research from the University of Texas at Dallas, and two bachelor's degrees in forensic science and intelligence and national security from Point Park University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. She's excited to continue her career here and is looking forward to creating valuable analysis products for the city of Grover Beach. Lauren is our new police services analyst at the police department and will be assisting police administration with data analytics.
Hello?
I will continue on with our next new employee, Officer Waleed El-Sayed. Waleed is a lifelong resident of San Luis Obispo County, and he comes from an Egyptian background where his mother and father relocated to the United States 30 years ago. Waleed is the youngest of two children and has always envisioned a career in law enforcement. He has grown up with family, friends, and neighbors working in various law enforcement agencies. Waleed's dream has always been to give back to the community, and he is eager to make a difference and to be a role model for the community of Grover Beach. We welcome Waleed El-Sayed as a new police officer to the city of Grover Beach. And the next new employee is Officer Roberto Pulido. Roberto Pulido was born in the city of Santa Maria and raised in Napomo. He has two older brothers and a younger sister. After graduating high school, he entered the United States Army. He was deployed to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, and the Middle East. Officer Pulido has worked for the Santa Barbara Police Department in 2019 and 20. However, he made a lifelong decision and a great decision on our behalf to join the Grover Beach Police Department this past June. So we welcome Officer Pulido to our team.
Very good. Thank you, Chief. And did either Lauren, Waleed, or Roberto want to be on camera shy and come on and let us see their faces and say hello?
Well, they were all logged in, so we're in different parts of the station now.
Very good. Well, we will say welcome aboard, welcome to the family, and we'll look forward to meeting you in person someday soon. Very good. Thank you, Chief. So next, I'll turn it over to our Public Works Director and City Engineer, Greg Ray, for introduction of new Public Works employees. Mr. Ray.
Well, thank you, Mary Lee. And it is my pleasure to introduce the council and the community four new employees. And I'm hoping if each of the four, which I've seen they are on, if you want to turn on your cameras and audio when you get a chance and just say hi to the council and the community when I introduce you. I'm going to start with Rick DeLira. He started on the 19th of September as a maintenance worker one, and he worked as a water distribution tech three with the San Ynez River Water Conservation District prior to coming to our way. He holds a water treatment operator grade one and a water distribution grade two certification. We're very happy to have him on board with his skills that he brings with him. And so far, he's been doing a really good job. Rick, if you want to say hi real quick, that'd be great.
Hello, everyone. Did you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, all right.
If you had anything you want to say to the council, just hello and thank you or anything such as that. Now's your chance.
Everybody who you know, had a hand in bringing me aboard. And, you know, I love public service. A lot of people forget that, you know, we work for the city, but for the people. And I look forward to putting my best foot forward 8 days a week. And that's it.
Thank you, Richard. Appreciate it. And glad to have you aboard also. Next, I'll introduce Eric Ruelas. He is also Maintenance Worker 1, started with us on November 2nd. He has 12 years of experience with Lockheed Martin as a fabricator and assembly technician. He was also a Class A driver in their SLO facility. He has an associate's degree in speech communications, and he brings all these skills to us at the city of Grover Beach as our new Maintenance Worker 1. So, Eric, welcome aboard. If you'd like to say thank you to the council, that'd be great.
Yes, good evening, and thank you for the opportunity to come and work for you. So I really appreciate it, and I come in and just going to do my best to provide all my skills to help the city of Grover Beach. This is pretty much where I was raised in, so it's great to give back to the community, and I look forward to meeting some of you pretty soon here. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Glad to have you aboard. Next, I'd like to introduce Admir Garcia. He also started with us on the 2nd. Admir has 6 years of experience in hotel maintenance and their engineering department. He was previously with Fess Parker and Marriott Hotels. He has experience in HVAC, plumbing, electrical, painting, drywall, and lucky for us, gardening, which are all skills that we need. So we're very happy to have Admir on board. And Admir, if you'd like to say a few words, now's your chance.
Well, I'm happy to be here, and thank you for the chance of working with the city of Grover Beach. And I'll keep working hard and just get at it.
Thank you, Admir. Great to have you on board. And last but not least, we have Gabriel Munoz Maurice. He is our new senior engineer who came on board on the 16th of November. He has 6 years of experience with the Public Works Department in the County of Los Angeles and recently at the City of Huntington Beach. He has a bachelor's degree in civil engineering. He, I believe, has almost completed his master's in public administration, and he is the registered professional engineer. I can tell you that Gabriel has hit the ground running full speed, and my job now is to keep up with him. So, Gabriel, if you have any words you want to say, we welcome you aboard, and here's your chance.
I just want to say thank you to everybody. Good evening, council members and mayor. I'm looking forward to working with the public works team here. With Greg's got me busy. That's definitely a reality, and I'm looking forward to all the good work we're going to do here in Grover Beach.
Thank you. With that, Mayor, I return it to you, and thank you all of my new employees. We're so happy to have you aboard, and council, thank you for approving these positions. I think we're going to do great things. So.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Ray, and welcome to Gabriel, Admir, Eric, and Rick. So between police and public works, so we've got some fine new employees both of you said, have hit the ground running and already in the community and doing great work. We definitely appreciate that. So, and I know Mr. Bronson wanted to say a few words as well, so I'll turn it over to him.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Appreciate that. And I think you said it very well earlier. We are a city family, and we're delighted to welcome these new individuals into our city family. These are some tremendously talented individuals from the local community, from broader statewide community, and across the country in the case of one of them. And I think it just goes to show what we're doing as an organization, what we're doing as a community, and attracting top talent in the organization, going with the very talented individuals who have been here serving this community for many years. I'm just delighted to welcome them on board. These are all filling vacant positions, by the way. So these are not new positions, but ones that were vacated, and we look forward to being able to fill these and move forward as an organization. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Very good. Thank you. So, and unless there's any members of the council that want to raise their hands or say something, that will conclude our ceremonial calendar for this evening. And that'll take us to our presentations. So we go from a welcome to a thank you. And thank you, uh, thankful, thank, Thanksgiving thankfulness. And so I'll turn it over to our Parks and Rec Director, Kathy Petker, for a presentation on our Thanksgiving Thankfulness Contest winners. And I'll try and say that five more times fast.
Thank you, Mayor. Appreciate it. Really excited to share the results of our contest that we had recently. And I'm actually going to turn it over to Madison to share the results of the contest. Thank you.
And then I'm ready for the presentation whenever it can be pulled up. Perfect.
And I am able to see the presentation if there's any concerns.
Okay, I'm not able to see it.
I just lost it myself.
There we go, perfect. All right, so yeah, it is a bit of a tongue twister. Thanksgiving Thankfulness Contest. It took place last month, right, for Thanksgiving. Go ahead and go to the next slide. Next slide. Well, I'll just keep speaking on it. But we were super, super thrilled with the amount of turnout we got. We got over 50 thankful entries. It was really uplifting to read those, especially in the time of COVID right now. Beautiful entries. We received them on our email as well as our social media accounts. The whole thing behind it was to share what you're thankful for in this time. And in return, you could possibly win a dinner or a full Thanksgiving dinner from Spoon Trade or cheesecakes. So we had a first place winner, a second place winner, and a third place winner. And I'm having difficulty seeing it. I don't know if anyone else.
So I am able to see the first place winner. So I don't know if Madison, if Kathy can see that, since I don't know the script, or if Madison, you're able to see that now.
Yeah, it's all still in the second one. It's very blurry.
Madison, you can go ahead and continue with the winners and just continue your presentation.
Okay, yeah, I'll just kind of go off the top of my head. But our first place winner was Julie. She had a full Thanksgiving meal delivered to her house from Rotary. Mr. Pearl was able to deliver and take a photo with her, so that was great to see that. And then in our second place winner, she won a cheesecake, a pumpkin cheesecake also from Spoon Trade, was able to be delivered. And as well as our third place winner, Susan Reeves, who received also a pumpkin cheesecake. And that was super great. We got the photos with them. And then just to reiterate, we had so many, we had over 50. So it was a great turnout. And the remainder of the slides, we have kind of some of our examples of some of the things we got. Didn't want to put too many on the slides to overbear everyone, but great turnout. We're super stoked, especially with everything virtual going on right now. It's a great way for people to interact and share what they're thankful for. And that concludes our Thanksgiving thankfulness. Kathy, if you want to say anything.
Yeah, one last comment to let the council and members of the audience know that all of the responses, a lot of the responses are on our website, social media sites, so we can see what all the entries provided of their thankfulness. So thank you for the opportunity, and we were really happy that the virtual contest was super popular.
Very good. Thank you, Madison. Thank you, Kathy, for that. And yeah, I was very thankful for the outreach that the community did through the program, and also thank you to staff for putting this together, definitely in the time of COVID, so that we could kind of keep people engaged, keep people involved in their community, and really appreciate the opportunity that everyone took and the time to say what they were thankful for. So looks like Mayor Pro Tem Bright has her microphone unmuted, and I'm guessing might want to say something.
I did. I just really loved this whole idea and the concept behind it. So I just really thank you for coming up with the idea, or whoever did. I just loved it. And I think that our community did too. So I really thank you for that. So.
Very good. Thank you for that. I'll see if Councilmember Shaw wanted to share anything.
Yes, just thank you to everyone for participating. I think it's important to pause and be thankful and figure out a way to still connect during the holidays. And those photos were just heartwarming. So just thank you guys for hanging in there, and thank you for your creativity.
And next, we'll see if Councilmember Lance wants to share anything.
Sure. I echo my colleagues' words. I think it was a great opportunity to engage with the community during Thanksgiving. And the presentation was beautiful. And I'm happy that our community was interactive and that a local business was also able to be engaged. And I think it's just a testament to this time of year, and although we're in an unprecedented pandemic, taking that time to realize what we're thankful for is really, really valuable. So, thank you, everybody.
Very good. Yeah, thank you for that. And again, thank you to staff for all the work that you put into it. Take a little bit of prerogative here at the moment in realizing that this was a presentation for Thanksgiving and thankfulness, but that staff has done a great job in what I'll call the next round of virtual Thanksgiving, which becomes the Holiday of Lights and the Holiday of holiday season preparations and presentations. So, Kathy, I don't know if you have either you or Madison wanted to take a moment and before we go to public comment and share what we did last Friday, and then what the community we're hoping that they'll participate in the Holiday of Lights as well. Also, if you have a moment.
Yeah, absolutely. We were so honored to have the tree lighting ceremony at Ramona on last Friday. It was wonderful. We had a special guest, Santa Claus, showed up, and we were able to do a countdown, and the city's holiday tree is up at Ramona Garden Park Center, so feel free to drive by anytime. It will be lit through the season. It's a beautiful tree straight from the North Pole, so please drive by, enjoy it. Physically distance away from each other and take pictures if you like. And then also, as the mayor mentioned, we're leading into our Holiday of Lights decorating contest, which is virtual this year. So nominate your own house, nominate a neighbor's house. We are looking for lots of lights this season. Decorate, go all out. And we do have a special category, a Clark Griswold category for extravagant use of lights. So we want you to go big and go home. So we also have a business category. So we want businesses to participate as well in decorations. And also, you can find out all our information on our social media sites. And it will also be up on our city website for categories and deadlines. So, or you can contact Parks and Recreation and we'll fill you in as well. So looking forward to a lot of holiday spirit this season. Thank you, Mayor.
Very good, and I do feel a new tagline coming on: "Go big and stay home." So for the upcoming Holiday of Lights, then also did just want to confirm that the tree lighting was a virtual ceremony. We had we did have Santa there. I did feel a little sideways for the first couple minutes of it. Blood was rushing to the side of my brain, which is why I wasn't able to sing all the right words to the songs. But both Madison and Kathy did a great job of setting all that up, and also having the opportunity to be able to invite Santa Claus. And I know he's got a really busy schedule, but he was able to join us. So, and with that, I will close the presentation calendar, because we have in the house, under public communication, Santa Claus. And so let me first say that if there are other people that want to talk under public communications, please call in at 805-321-6639. And we, if you'd like to provide public comments, where at this time the council will allow public communications with additional communications, if necessary, allowed after the regular business items. And any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this council. The council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the council cannot act on items that are not on tonight's agenda. So realizing we do have a special guest in the house, I'll turn it over to our city clerk and invite Santa Claus to provide some public comments.
We have no one else on the line, but we do have Santa. If he turns his camera on.
I've never known Santa to be bashful, but perhaps his camera is feeling a little bashful. So. Santa, if you have an opportunity to use the conference call and perhaps turn on your video. Oop, we can. I heard that.
Hello. Merry Christmas. I'm not very technical savvy, but I'm working on it.
We can hear you, Santa. Go ahead.
Well, I guess you can't see me, but I just wanted to take an opportunity to tell the city thank you very much for the invitation to the tree lighting ceremony. And I really want to reach out to all the children in the community and let them make sure they understand that Santa's going to be there come Christmas Eve. So I'd like for them all to remember wash your hands, keep your distance, and pay attention to what your parents have to say, because I'm keeping an eye on you. I'm very busy right now reading a lot of the letters that have been coming in and getting the toys ready and getting things going, but we're getting it ready and we'll be there. I'm sorry that the connection didn't work to see me, but I never changed on my lips. I still look the same. And one thing I did promise you tonight is that I will not sing. Quite a few people happy.
Well, Santa, I think we're having technical difficulties tonight, but we do get the spirit of what you're trying to share with us this evening, and we thank you for being here, and we'll all see you in a couple weeks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Santa. Thank you, Santa. So Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas!
Very good. So we'll say thank you to Santa, and I'll just ask our city clerk if there is anyone else that joined in for public communications this evening.
No, we have no one else on the line for public.
Okay, then I will close public communications and bring it back to the council. And that will take us into our consent agenda. So where tonight we have several items, we have already moved item number 6 off the consent calendar. And let's see if any members of the council have any questions on the remaining items on the consent calendar. Councilmember Shaw. Actually, she's working to unmute herself. I'll check in with Councilmember Lance.
No question, thank you.
Very good. I'll go back to Council.
questions. Yeah, no questions for me.
Okay, very good. Councilmember Bright. Or excuse me, Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
No questions, thank you.
Very good, and I did not have any questions either. So let's check in with our city clerk and make sure if anyone has called in for public comment on the consent agenda, you can call in at 805-321-6639.
No, we have no callers for public comment.
Very good. Then I will go ahead and close public comment for the consent agenda and bring it back to the council for comment or a motion.
Well, I'll make a motion then that we accept the consent agenda as presented, with the item 6 being removed
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. I'm seeing a reason for a roll call. So, City Clerk, if you would please.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Yes.
Councilmember Shaw.
Yes.
Councilmember Lance.
Yes.
Mayor Lee.
Yes. Very good. So we do have an approved consent agenda this evening, and that does take us to our public hearings for tonight. Before I turn it over to the city manager, I will remind folks that if you do want to make a public comment on tonight's public hearing, please call in at 805-321-6639, and that'll take us to item number 10 tonight, which is our second reading and adoption of Measure F20 Transactions and Use Tax Ordinance. Mr. Bronson, if you would please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members. What is before the council is a public hearing to consider a second reading and adoption of an ordinance that amends three different sections of Chapter 15 to Article 10 of the Municipal Code regarding a transactions and use tax in regards to passage of Measure F20. So backtracking, on November 3rd, 2020, the voters of Grover Beach approved Measure F20 that adds a 1% transaction and use tax to the city's existing 0.5% transactions and use tax approved as part of Measure X06. That was approved by 53% of Grover Beach voters, and as such, the City Council is now in the position of formalizing that approval through adoption of the tax ordinance that was before the voters. This ordinance was heard on a first reading at the November 16th council meeting. It was introduced at that meeting, and the ordinance does amend the city's transactions and use tax rate from the current 0.5% to the 1.5%, reflecting this 1% additional rate as part of Measure F20. Just as a reminder to the council, as part of your role, you can elect to have a tax rate lower than what was approved by voters, but the council cannot go above voter approval unless there's a subsequent voter approval at that point. And also, we'll be talking in the next item regarding the Citizen Oversight Committee that's tied into the passage of Measure F20. And lastly, staff would say that we will begin factoring in the revenue projections from this measure into our upcoming budget process. We estimate approximately $1.8 million, close to $2 million now, is generated on an annual basis with this new tax measure. Staff will also be talking to the council later this meeting regarding a potential immediate use of expected proceeds this fiscal year to address immediate community needs. And we'll talk more about that as part of the COVID report coming up. So with that, again, the recommendation is to conduct the public hearing and adopt the ordinance that brings the Measure F20 rate into our transactions and use tax rate as a city. And then that will go into effect on April 1, 2021, which is standard for sales tax increases to go into effect. With that, staff is glad to take any questions and comments from the council.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Bronson. I know we've had quite a bit of conversation on this item over the course of the last several months, but let's see if any questions have arisen from Councilmember Lance.
I don't have any questions at this time. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Councilmember Shaw.
No questions. Sorry, my button's hiding tonight.
Very good. And Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
No, thank you. No questions.
Very good. And I didn't have any questions either, so I will open the public hearing this evening and see, turn it over to our city clerk and see if we have any members of the public that have called in to comment on this item.
We have no callers on the line.
Very good. Then I will go ahead and close the public hearing and bring it back to the council for either comments or a motion. So seeing no one come forward, I'll go ahead and...
I can make a motion. Okay. I motion that we conduct a public hearing and a second reading and adoption of an ordinance amending sections 101504, 101505, and 101506 of Chapter 15 to Article 10 of the Grover Beach Municipal Code, amending the amount of a transactions and use tax to be administered by the State Board of Equalization.
And I think I heard Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Yes, second. I'll second that. Sorry.
Very good. No one wanted to make the motion because it was such a long recommendation, a long but necessary recommendation. So very good. So we do have a motion and a second. So Madam City Clerk, roll call, please.
Councilmember Lance.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Yes.
Councilmember Shaw.
Yes.
Mayor Lee.
Yes. Very good. Thank you, everyone. Good work on staff's part, and also a great big thank you to the community for supporting and trusting the city with this passage of F20. And we, as the city manager mentioned earlier, we will have a subsequent conversation later this evening about potential immediate use of some of the proceeds of that. But that will conclude, and that will take us to our regular business this evening, which first item is number 11, which is roles and composition of a citizen oversight committee with the passage of Measure F20. So before I turn it over to Mr. Bronson, I will just remind anyone who's watching tonight that if you want to make a public comment on any items on the agenda, please call in at 805-321-6639. And with that, Mr. Bronson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council members, a related item to the one that you just considered is the role of the Citizen Oversight Committee for Revenue Measures reflecting passage of Measure F20. As the council is aware, we currently have a oversight committee that's in place now for our revenue measures that includes oversight of Measure X06 and Measure K14 and other measures. This was created by the council last year to be a comprehensive oversight committee overseeing these revenue measures. Earlier this year, back in June, the council provided direction to not only place the sales tax measure on the ballot this fall, but to also incorporate the oversight role into the existing Citizen Oversight Committee rather than create a new committee for Measure F20 itself, and to also expand the number of positions from the current 3 positions into a 5-member oversight committee. Again, that was contingent upon passage of Measure F20. So now that F20 has been approved and the council has adopted the tax ordinance, we are coming back to the council to fulfill your policy direction to encompass the oversight role into this committee and to expand the number of positions to 5, and then to provide direction to staff to begin the recruitment process to fill the vacant positions, subject to the council's process for filling advisory bodies and commissions. So that is the request of staff, again, adopting a resolution that formalizes these actions and direction, and then to provide direction to staff to begin the recruitment process immediately for this reframed committee. And with that, staff would be glad to take any questions from the council.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Bronson. Let's see if any member of the council has questions. I'll start with Council Member Shaw.
Just a quick question. It's not really for myself. It's just more for the public, because I know one thing I hear sometimes, even back from the tax measure from 2006, is where did all the money go? It was supposed to fix all the roads, and it didn't fix all the roads. And I think, first of all, there just wasn't enough. it did fix roads, but just not enough. So I think the oversight committee is very important. And if you could just briefly explain, you know, the process, so you'll have citizens who, or residents who look at everything that's spent and account for it. Is that how it works, or?
Yes. Thanks for the question, Councilmember Shaw. The current Oversight Committee meets once a year in the fall to review the expenditures from the previous fiscal year for the different tax measures in place. They review the audited numbers where we have them, as well as the preliminary unaudited figures where they're available. They also review the use of the expenditures, particularly for K-14, since that was applied for local street projects. Measure X06, as well as Measure F20, is a general tax measure. It funds general city services as prioritized and allocated by the City Council. So there are not specific allocations that go to a general measure. However, there are community needs that we do have and that are funded through our general revenues. And we'll be able to highlight those over the course of the year as part of our budget process. So as it stands now, this committee would continue to meet once a year in the fall to review the expenditures, review the revenues. They could meet more frequently if that was direction of the council, and that's direction that could be provided at a later date as we bring back the applications and have the council be able to appoint the individuals. There could be another meeting that could be done up front if that was part of the council direction as well. But for now, once a year is the schedule we have in place.
So there would be people outside of the city council, outside of staff, just resident volunteers who are going to go over how all that money is spent.
That's correct. Our current oversight committee has three positions, one of which is vacant right now, but the other two individuals do provide that outside resident view into the expenditures and revenues tied into our existing tax measures. This committee would continue that role.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. Councilmember Lance, did you have any questions?
No questions, thank you.
Very good. Mayor Pro Tem Bright, any questions from you?
Yes, just one, please. So then the makeup of this oversight committee, will people apply for this committee?
Yes, they would apply for the committee like other city advisory bodies. There would be an application available on our website, and we would post that, my guess is later this week or next week, and then have the applications come back. We would have a process similar to other advisory bodies for reviewing and interviewing candidates, similar to the Planning Commission, similar to the Parks, Recreation, and Beautification Commission, and ultimately bring back recommended appointees to the council for approval.
So would they have to have any certain skill set, would anyone be encouraged to apply?
There is no specific skill set that we would indicate for this, aside from a desire to serve their community and to be part of this process. Technically, any resident of Grover Beach over the age of 18 who's a registered voter is eligible to apply. And we always like to have a cross-section of our community reflected on our advisory bodies, and we encourage anybody who's interested in providing that oversight to apply for this role.
Excellent. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Very good. So, and I did just have one question that kind of builds upon what Mayor Pro Tem Bright was just asking, realizing it's not specifically on the agenda this evening, but is there, when was the last time we as a city reviewed how we selected members of various committees and commissions?
It has been a while. It has not happened in my 4.5 years serving as city manager. I'm not sure exactly when the last time it was, but I think it is something that is worth reviewing over this new year. Not only in the selection of commission members and committee members, but also in the committees and boards we have that are advisory to the City Council. And staff is looking to bring an item to the council early in 2021 that would engage you on this conversation and seek direction on any changes the council would like to see.
Okay. Very good. So that's perhaps I'll have some comments after the public comment period. But well, with that, I'll see if any of the questions generated additional questions from council members. Just go ahead and unmute yourself if you did. Seeing no one unmute themselves, I'll go ahead and ask our city clerk if anyone has joined us on the line for public comment on this item.
No, we have no callers on the line.
Very good. Then I will go ahead and close public comment, bring it back to the council for some direction to staff and maybe some comments. So perhaps if you'll grant me the leeway, I'll go ahead and provide my comment first. And the fact that I think having gone through a number of commission interview process and so forth, I think we have a process that probably could use some refreshing. And I think we've always had opportunities to, or some opportunities, but also some difficulty with filling our commissions. And so I almost think, outside the scope of what we're doing this evening, perhaps direction to staff to kind of rethink the purpose of the Parks and Rec and Beautification Commission as a matter of what that group's mission is and what their goal is. And for the F20 commission, realizing a 5-person committee is what we're looking at this evening, really kind of giving them some guidance and some understanding of what the city is doing. So beyond just a one meeting per year review of expenditures, I think might be worth a conversation, realizing that the action before us tonight is to expand it from 3 people to 5 people under our citizens oversight committee. And so those are kind of my comments, and let's see if anyone else, but I am supportive of the recommendation this evening. So let's start with Councilmember Shaw, see if she comments or further questions.
Yes, I think it's always good to look at our processes and review them for most efficiency and to be sure we're doing things in the way that we get the most applicants we can and that those applicants are chosen as fairly as we can. My comments just on this agenda item is, please apply to be on this committee. I know it doesn't sound super exciting, but it's important. And for how many people sometimes, especially, you know, online, but even in real life, question expenditures or question things, you know, let be part of this and we'll hand you everything. Well, first of all, everything's always available on our website. There's no secret to it, but I just would encourage people, maybe some of the people who complain the most, like be the ones to review it, because I think that would be great. I would like to hear from them. So that would just be my comments.
Very good. Next up, we'll head to Councilmember Lance, see if she had any comments.
Thank you. I believe City Manager Bronson mentioned that this would come to the council at a later date as applicants were identified, but I would like to see maybe twice a year committee meetings for the Oversight Committee, mainly on each side of the process. So perhaps, you know, this is how we're planning on spending this money this year, and then on the other side of the process, this is how it was spent. Just to have accountability on both sides. It might make it more cohesive from an oversight perspective. That would be my comment. Thank you.
Very good. And Mayor Pro Tem Bright, any comments that you wanted to share?
Well, I agree with my colleagues on the Oversight Committee. I think the more information, the better. The more transparent we can be, the better. So on that respect, yes. Regarding reorganization of other committees. I think that too is certainly something that is, I think, timely at this juncture. I think that there are certainly other avenues that could be pursued, and probably other duties and that could be performed at this time. So I think that certainly that is something that we should look at. I believe that is something that we certainly should be considering.
Okay, very good. Thank you, everyone, for those comments. And just because I don't want to have our city attorney squirm too much in his chair, we'll kind of take the discussion tonight into two directions. One of which is to discuss the recommendation before us this evening, and then after that's completed, we can provide some additional direction to staff. So let's see if someone's ready to make a motion on the item in front of us.
If I could find the item. I've lost my screen, so I can't even find the item, unfortunately.
I make the motion. I motion that we adopt a resolution incorporating citizen oversight of expenditures from Measure F20 into the role of the Citizen Oversight Committee for City Revenue Measures, and expanding the committee's composition from 3 positions to 5 positions. And we are going to provide direction to staff regarding the recruitment process after this, so I will leave the motion as is.
I'll second that.
Very good. So we do have a motion. We have a second, I think, by Mayor Pro Tem Bright. So perhaps a friendly question for the motion maker is, did you want to put a stipulation for meeting at least twice annually?
Should I make that now, or is that coming?
Do you want to do that as? I think you can make that into this motion.
Okay. Adding that council directs Citizen Oversight Committee to meet twice a year.
And does the second agree with that?
I do.
Very good. And Mr. Hale, you had made some motions, like you like by unmuting yourself, that I will give you an opportunity to speak on this item.
You may not have heard me. I said, yeah, you can incorporate that into the motion. That's what I said. So you're good.
Very good. Always good to have that confirmation. Appreciate that. So, okay, so we do have a motion and a second. So, Madam City Clerk, roll call, please.
Councilmember Lance?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright?
Yes.
Councilmember Shaw?
Yes.
Mayor Lee?
And I'm a yes as well. So we do have approval of that item. So then let's turn to some direction to staff. I know, City Manager, we've kind of provided some general direction. I didn't write it down, but it was to, and we did incorporate the at least twice annually meeting of the Citizen Oversight Committee. But then I think the direction was to bring back an item to the council regarding the selection process for future boards and commissions when there are vacancies. And was there anything else that we wanted to add to that direction? Mayor Pro Tem Bright, I think you had said, had shared some information.
But then I think the direction was to bring back an item to the council.
I'm sorry.
Regarding the selection.
So I'll go to Councilmember Lance, see if there was any further direction, or City Manager, was were you clear on our direction, or do we need?
Yeah, I think I'm clear, and it affirms what I was planning to bring forward, and that is a review of the current boards and commissions, and then how we select individuals to those commissions. I think that is timely to bring this back to the council and have this conversation to make sure that the boards and commissions reflect the key needs that the council is looking for from an advisory standpoint. It's we can calibrate the commission roles accordingly and then discuss with the council how those individuals are chosen and make any changes the council would like to see. So staff is planning that for the January time frame, and we look forward to the conversation.
Very good. I appreciate that. So, and then as Councilmember Lance had mentioned, it is a future council, as this is her last business meeting this evening. So perhaps she will apply for a future commission or other oversight role within the city. No pressure, though. Very good. So unless there's any other information that someone wants to share in this item, Mayor Pro Tem Bright, I see your microphone is on. Okay, very good. Then I'll go ahead and we'll say that item number 11 is complete, and that will take us to item number 12, which is the November 3rd, 2020 election matters and city council reorganization declaring the results of the consolidated general municipal election. I'll turn it over to our city clerk, Sims. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you, Honorable Mayor and council members. The city of Grover Beach conducts its general municipal election on the same day as and consolidated with the statewide general election on the first Tuesday of November in even numbered years. Earlier this year, the council adopted resolutions necessary for calling that election to be held on Tuesday, November 3rd, 2020, and to be conducted by the San Luis Obispo County Clerk Recorder's Office. The County Clerk Recorder's Office would therefore canvass the returns of all votes cast and certify the election results. The council further authorized to place a measure to increase the local transaction and use tax on the same November ballot. This measure was designated as City of Grover Beach Measure F20. For this election, there were 8,130 registered voters in Grover Beach. Voter turnout was 85.36%. On November 3rd, Grover Beach voters were asked to vote for a mayor, two council members for the 2 4-year seats, one council member to fill the remaining 2-year seat of former council member Barbara Nichols, and for or against the city tax measure. For the office of directly elected mayor, there were two qualified candidates seeking to be elected to that office. The one that received the highest number of votes was Jeff Lee, mayor engineer. For the office of council member for the 4-year seats, there were 5 qualified candidates seeking election to the 2 open seats. The 2 who received the highest number of votes were Karen Bright, the incumbent, and Anna Miller, director. For the office of council member for the 2-year seat, there were 4 qualified candidates seeking election to the 1 open seat. The one who received the highest number of votes was Robert Roberts, business owner. For the city measure F20, which proposed increasing the city's transaction and use tax rate from 0.5% to 1.5%, this tax measure required a simple majority to pass, 50% plus 1. The measure F20 passed by 52.68%. This ordinance was adopted at tonight's city council meeting and will become effective April 1st, 2021. For cities with elections consolidated with the county, the governing body is required to adopt a resolution reciting the facts of the election. A draft resolution has been prepared and is attached to your staff report for consideration. Certificates from the county clerk recorder's canvass of all votes cast in the November election regarding city council candidates and the city measure F20 are attached to the resolution. In conclusion, staff recommends the council adopts the resolution declaring the results of the general municipal election held on November 3rd, 2020. That concludes staff's presentation.
Very good. Thank you for that report. Let's turn it over to the council, see if there are any questions. I'll start with Councilmember Lance.
Questions? Thank you.
Very good. Councilmember Shaw.
No questions. Thank you.
Very good. Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
No questions. Thank you.
Very good. And I have a question I should have asked Mr. Hale earlier, but since having gone through 3 elections where I have self-certified my name on the election ballot. I'm guessing I know the answer, so I just want to make sure with Mr. Hale that Ms. Bright and myself do not have a conflict of interest for voting on this item this evening.
No, you do not.
Very good. Like I said, I think I knew the answer, and I should have asked you alerted you that I was going to ask that question, but just wanted to confirm in case there was any questions out there. Very good. So I will go ahead and open this up to the public, see if there's any members of the public on the line this evening at 805-321-6639 for verbal public comment. And I do understand we do have one written public communication that would like to be read into the record. So I'll turn it over to the city clerk to see if there's any live public comments this evening.
No, we have no one on the line.
Very good. Then I will go ahead and ask you to read the written public comment into the record, if you would, please.
Sure. We received an email this evening. Dear council members, I submit the attached Excel graph depicting vote counts over time in the race for the two-year council seat. I plotted the line graph using numbers reported and available for download on the clerk's website. I am still investigating what these numbers might mean, but for now, simply point out the sharp increase in my vote total according to the 11-6 update, bringing me to within 10 votes of Robert. Subsequently, my vote total held to a remarkable constant amount below Robert's. It is my supposition that the sharp increase in my vote total on 11-6 was due to late door knocking throughout the most of the city. However, this is a trend that should have continued beyond 11-6 and likely would have further accelerated in degree because I continued door knocking up until election day. I don't believe my opponents engaged in such door knocking. Of course, it is premature to say what all this means, and we may never know for sure, but I note that our county uses Dominion machines, which are susceptible to tampering. I'm investigating whether Dominion IT contractors, on-site or elsewhere, adjudicated batches of votes, and whether that might have been done in favor of or in opposition to various lists of candidates, such as SoTrib or GOP endorsements. Thank you, Dave Duringer.
Okay, so that and that concludes our public comment for this item.
Correct.
So we'll go ahead and close that and bring it back to perhaps I'll ask either the city clerk or the city manager. Certification and counting of elections is done by the county clerk, Mr. Tommy Gong, correct? And he has certified the election, so there's been no concerns about his certification of this election, correct?
No, nothing's been questioned, and we do have the official certifications.
Very good. Okay, so I think that does address the comment from the email this evening. So I will go ahead and again close public comment, bring it back, see if there's any comments that people want to make or if someone is ready for a motion.
I'll make a motion. I'll make the comment. Congratulations to all the winners, and still immensely happy that I didn't have to run in this election and got to watch everyone, and looking forward to working with the new council. So on that, I will make the motion that we adopt the resolution declaring the results of the general municipal election held on November 3rd, 2020, and that we schedule a special city council meeting on December 14th, 2020 for the council reorganization.
I'll second.
Very good. We have a motion and a second. So, Madam City Clerk, if you would, roll call, please.
Councilmember Shaw.
Yes.
Councilmember Lance.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Yes.
And Mayor Lee.
And I will say yes as well, and then just also thank the members of the city of Grover Beach, or the voting members of Grover Beach, that got us to an 85.36% participation rate in this year's election. So I'm sure all the new members will have some comments next week at the special meeting, but I just want to acknowledge the fact that we had over 85% of our registered voters participate in this election. So I think that's a testament to the veracity and the tenacity of this year's election. So very good. So we do have a certified election. So yes, congratulations to those that will continue on the council and those that are new to the council. Look forward to having that special meeting next Monday. And with that, we'll go ahead and kind of come back to item number 6, which is a COVID-19 response, an update, and a business grant assistance program item. So before I turn it over to the city manager for brief introductory comments, I will remind those in the audience that you can call in for public comments under this item at 805-321-6639. And with that, Mr. Bronson, if you would, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. As you know, at each council meeting, I have a written COVID-19 update that summarizes where we are as a county and what the city's response is. It's a consent item because it's really more informational just for the council and the public. We've had a lot of news in the last several days regarding COVID-19. So there was a lot to share with the council that came after the agenda was posted on Thursday. So before I go forward, I'd like to invite our fire chief, Steve Lieberman, to be able to share some big picture comments regarding where things are with COVID-19 as a county, and maybe even touching on some themes from outside the county. Chief Lieberman is really at the forefront of seeing a lot of key trends, not just in the fire area, but public health across the county and elsewhere. I thought it'd be helpful for him to share some perspective with the council, and then I could highlight some particular areas for the council's review this evening of what we can do as a city, given this very significant situation that we're in. So with that, Chief Lieberman, would you be able to share some comments?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Bronson. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Steve Lieberman, Fire Chief with Five Cities Fire. Mr. Bronson asked me to join the call just to share some perspective from, I guess, my shop with all of you. And I'm just going to start by sharing information that you and the public may have already heard today. But over this weekend, we increased our case count by well over 300 cases, with Saturday breaking the new, sadly, we're breaking records of 186 cases reported on Saturday alone. 15 folks are now hospitalized, with 4 of those folks in ICU. Probably Friday of last week, it was brought to my attention that we had an issue with this skilled nursing facility in Arroyo Grande. And now that it's made KSBY news, I can tell you that there's been an outbreak at the Arroyo Grande Care Center. So if you were following case counts and what's reported for Arroyo Grande starting last week, you saw big jumps in numbers. And a portion of that was the care center, where at one point the COVID positive resident count was well over 80%. Thankfully, only 2 or 3 folks are in the hospital, but it's a chilling reminder to what's happening. And based on folks like Dr. Fauci and others following the trend, what's lays ahead of us for the months to come. So everyone's well aware of the mayor's the governor's announcement regarding restrictions, and basically telling us to stay close to home and avoid holiday travel and all those tough decisions that we're faced with the holidays here. From the perspective of Five Cities Fire, as Mr. Bronson told me, I was voluntold to join a meeting that will be on Thursday of this week with a few fire chiefs, a few city managers, and county leadership regarding what can we do from a strategic planning perspective to better connect with our communities, to see how we as fire chiefs can help public health spread the message and contact our local businesses and do more than we currently are besides running calls, just from a grassroots, a familiar face perspective. I'll definitely be downloading with Mr. Bronson once I finish up that meeting on Thursday. But our folks are extremely busy. As you can imagine, with all of us, there's a high level of anxiety, but our folks have been trained. We were properly equipped, and they're responding to their calls for service. The numbers are out there. And I just wanted to share with you that we're doing our thing. We're taking care of the community. We're doing our best to keep our own folks healthy. I'm glad I can blur the background so you don't see that I'm in the bedroom of my grown daughter as my home office now. But we did have an unfortunate situation last week, and that one of our employees who's married to a nurse practitioner who works in a COVID area in an ER in Clovis, that employee came to work, felt fine first day, second day, in the middle of the night, started feeling like he was having allergies. You know, I feel like I'm having allergies, right? We're taking a lot of things for granted, but it does get in your head. And he put a mask on, distanced himself from the crew, but he went home and was diagnosed as being COVID positive. And three firefighters from the Five Cities Fire Authority are currently on 14-day quarantine orders. So thankfully, that's the first impact to our department that's been like this. But you can see how quickly our ranks could be diminished with exposure to our crews. I think I'll take a breather there and ask Mr. Bronson if there's anything more he wants me to address.
No, thank you, Chief. I appreciate that perspective. And I know our police chief is also in a similar spot with his personnel, making sure that they keep safe with their frontline response as well. So I think from there, let me just highlight what's before the council. You've seen a lot of media coverage, a lot of news coverage about where we are. So I won't go into detail about where we are with regards to the state safer, the blueprint for a safer economy. You know, we're in the purple tier. Governor last week did pull what he called the emergency brake around the regional orders to come back even further, given ICU capacity, which statewide is at 14% as of right now. And in the Southern California region, in which we are grouped as a county, it is around 10%, 8% in San Joaquin Valley. So we're dealing with hospitalization rates that are increasing, ICU capacity that's decreasing, case numbers that are increasing, and that's why the governor did take the action that he took. So we're in a position now of having significant closures and restrictions like we had back in March and April. And that's putting us in a very difficult position as a community. It puts us as local government in a very difficult position in taking the appropriate steps to keep our community safe and ensure compliance with the state and local orders. So there are really three main points I wanted to emphasize in my report and then open up to the council. The first is our work in working with the community to achieve compliance with these state orders. Throughout this entire process, we have worked diligently with our community to achieve compliance in a fair, prudent, and reasonable way through education, information, awareness, and really only getting to true enforcement, meaning citations, as a last resort when there are egregious behaviors. And to date, we've only issued two citations to one business after 8 months of the pandemic. So we really focus on compliance, voluntary compliance, and our community has responded so well over these last 8 months. We know we're in a tough spot now, and our nerves are all frayed as part of this. We get that. We feel that as well. So it makes the compliance work even tougher in making sure we do what we have to do to adhere to these state orders in a fair way. Second point is adapting our city operations. We are back to now virtually remote once again as city operations. We're only in city facilities when we need to. We're working remotely like we did early on and continuing the work of city government. We're still issuing permits. We're still inspecting projects. We're still taking payments. We're still issuing licenses. All that work continues just largely remotely as city operations. We have gone forward and unfortunately closed our playgrounds again, given the state order, and that is a requirement. Indoor and outdoor playgrounds are closed, and so we unfortunately had to do that. As of now, our sports courts and skate park are still open to offer a recreational outlet to our community. However, we have gotten reports of groups gathering at these facilities, and if that continues, we may have to take the unfortunate step of closing those facilities as well. We don't wish to do that. We wish to keep them open to be able to have that as an outlet for our community. And the last point I'd mention that really is a lead to the council's discussion, and that is our role in supporting and assisting our community and helping each other in this process. That goes for our work as individuals in buying local products and shopping local and supporting each other in this time of need, helping one another. The whole Grover Beach GB Together, We Got This campaign was really around that idea of supporting each other. The council has approved $250,000 of funding earlier this year for business micro grants to help our local businesses, supporting 40 businesses through two different grant rounds earlier this fall. We're in a very difficult spot right now, given the holiday season, given the significant restrictions, with local businesses really on the forefront of very significant economic impacts. So to that end, staff is coming forward to the council this evening with a concept that is centered around support of our local businesses. And the concept is to have a third round of business assistance micro grants that would provide immediate financial aid to local businesses in need. Staff is recommending that we authorize up to $500,000 in immediate financial assistance for local businesses to weather this financial storm. That amount is the amount that we estimate would be generated this fiscal year from passage of Measure F20. So the earlier adoption that the council enacted of our tax ordinance is going into effect now. Staff believes that using the revenues we expect this fiscal year is addressing an emergent need that is in our community right now, which is one of the reasons why the community invested further through passage of Measure F20 to meet community needs. Staff's proposal is that we would use general fund reserves right now to allocate funding for these micro grants and then be reimbursed by the expected tax proceeds that would be generated from April through June of 2021. So it's money that we will get this fiscal year. We would just be advancing it by using our reserves to put money in the hands of businesses right now to help support them in this time of need. What we are proposing to do is to offer a grant process of up to $7,500, which is right in between the two grant amounts that we had before, $5,000 and $10,000, and to really see what the need is. We have a suggested priority open to the council's review, focusing on businesses most directly affected by the regional order, the ones that are closed, such as personal care services, hair salons, gyms that can't operate outdoors, and restaurants that have to operate only in takeout and delivery. Our suggestion is that those could be an area of priority in reviewing grant applications, but that this could be open to other businesses as well to see what the need is. Our thought is this is money that the community would need to see now. We know that there will be state aid at some point, but that may come after many months. Federal aid is undetermined at this point, but we've shown that we can put money in the hands of our community right now. So our thought is that pending council's review and your approval this evening, we would have an application ready to go as soon as tomorrow and have a relatively short window, work diligently with our partners at the Chamber of Commerce on promoting this grant application, and have grant applications reviewed and recipients chosen and checks out the door in the mail before Christmas to work now so that we could preserve jobs, we could preserve funding for businesses, and be able to have a glimmer of hope in this time of need when we do have more hope on the horizon with vaccines that are coming in 2021 that will enable us to get past this pandemic and back to a sense of normalcy for our communities. So that is the proposal that is coming forward to the council tonight. It is something that came, again, late after the agenda was produced, because we're in an urgent time right now, and staff believe that rapid action is something to consider for the council this evening to be able to put funds in the hands of our community, and using the favorable financial position the city has and a tax measure that voters approved to help fund this emergent community need. With that, I will stop, and glad to take your questions and comments. And again, we appreciate the council's continued leadership in supporting our community in these difficult times.
Very good. Thank you for that update, Mr. Bronson, and also Mr. Lieberman for that information as well. So let's see if the council has any questions. We'll start with Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Thank you. I don't have any questions. I fully support the concept and the actual employment of those of the support to our local businesses. I appreciate you going forward with this ideal. I appreciate you including folks that are businesses that that have not applied before. I think really though, we really need to just look at those who need it the most. My concern is, as we all know, truly our businesses are really the lifeblood of our city. Without them, where would we be? So I am, as I said, I fully support this assistance, and so I think the sooner the better, and the quicker we can get the applications out and them reviewed, the better. I just can't stress enough how concerned I am about our businesses keeping their doors open. So no questions for me. I am fully supportive of this this business assistant program, and also I want to thank Chief Lieberman for taking the time to be here and giving us the update. So thank you.
Very good. Next, I'll go to Councilmember Shaw.
I do have two questions. One, how many grants do we think we'll be able to give out? Will it just depend on how many apply?
So just based on the numbers, $500,000 at, if we had the full amount of $7,500, that would fund roughly 66 different businesses. We would make it clear that we're asking a business to apply for what they would need. And every couple thousand dollars that they don't need is money that another business may be able to use. So again, we picked those numbers because that's the amount that we generate in F20 proceeds. And that's a grant amount that we thought was a good mid-tier between the two. And then we'll see what the business need would be from there.
So the business will fill out the application where in the application they'll show some need for the funds.
They would, similar to the previous two micro grant round applications.
Okay. And I guess my question suggestion would be to really, because this is going to be so many grants, really get the word out. I mean, of course, to all past grant recipients, but I know early on, one business owner said to me, oh, I didn't know I was eligible because I thought you had to be a chamber member, and I'm not a chamber member. So if we can, you know, push this out to the newspaper, to anywhere we can get it out, that if there's something I can share on social media and we can all share, that please apply. You know, you don't have to be a chamber member, just so we get people applying. But yes, I'm fully supportive of this, and I really thank staff for pivoting quickly and getting this to us. I thank the voters for voting for this tax measure and for trusting us to do what's right with it. And right now, absolutely doing this COVID relief and helping businesses feels right. I know there was one thing said about leadership, and there's so much as local leaders we can't control from the federal level on down, but this is something that we can control. So I'm just happy that we can help in this way. And everyone, just please stay safe. And I wish that every person who needed aid had it in their hand right now. But if we can get it to the businesses, that's something that we can do. So thank you for bringing this opportunity forward.
Very good. Next, I'll turn to Councilmember Lance, see if she has any questions.
I do. One comment in response to Councilmember Shaw is regarding popularity of how many businesses apply. I did notice from the first round to the second round, there was a significant uptick in applications. So I only would hope that by the third round, people really know. But I am supportive of getting the word out because I think there is opportunity for more funding than we originally did in rounds one and two. My question for City Manager Bronson is just a confirmation of my understanding. So F20 is scheduled technically to go into effect sometime in April. And then we've calculated that over April, May, and June, which would be the end of the fiscal year, June 31st, approximately receiving $500 in additional city sales tax that would go to our general fund. Is that correct? And then if so, how did we come up with that number?
Sure, I'd be glad to talk about that. So you're correct. The $500,000 is the amount that staff believes will be generated from April 1, 2021 through June 30th, 2021 through Measure F20. So through that 1% increase in the transaction and use tax rate. That's the estimate that we have. That's money that actually comes in next fiscal year, but it's accrued back to this fiscal year. So we still count it as this year's revenues. And this concept is recognizing that, and recognizing that those are general revenues. They apply to general city services. This concept is to have an immediate application towards this particular community need among other community needs. We'll be talking more during the budget process about other community needs that will be addressed by our revenues. And this is one example of those needs. We're not earmarking the funds towards any specific purpose, but this is one need that we're bringing forward to the council. So this is the estimate. And again, the concept is we have sufficient general fund reserves to advance this allocation now. And then once we receive the funds next fiscal year, we'll bring it back. And from an accounting standpoint, it will cover the outlay from reserves. So it's essentially new money that is coming forward that has not been budgeted this year. And I'll note that $500,000 is a significant amount. For context, that can pave three to four blocks of streets. That can fund a new position for 5 years. That's a significant outlay of funds. But in staff's perspective, this is an emergent community need that we have right now in our community. And that's why we're bringing this forward to you to be able to help our business community, as this was one of the many needs we highlighted as the information is part of the Measure F20 efforts earlier this fall.
And is the estimate of $500,000 based on last year's amounts that we received in sales tax, just adding the additional 1%? Is that how we come up with that figure?
Roughly. As you know, we do have a 0.5% sales tax city rate right now. And so that gives us a good proxy for what that generates during the year. We have had some uptick in sales tax revenues as we shared at the last council meeting. So the $500,000 figure is our current estimate for one quarter's worth of tax revenues that we would generate from this additional sales tax.
Thank you. Those are my only questions.
Very good. Thank you for those questions. I did have two quick questions. The first question is going to be for our city attorney, and just asking the question whether there are any concerns or issues that this would be a Prop 218 style of tax.
No, I don't have any issues with that. But I do want to make a point of clarification, which was addressed by City Manager Bronson just a minute ago. Your general fund is made up of numerous different revenue systems or revenue streams, one of them which is taxes. The taxes that are going to be generated that you will receive from F20 will go into your general fund. Your allocation appropriation for the reimbursements for this particular grant program that you're talking about now will be an allocation specifically out of your general fund. So therefore, there has not been, by any action that you're taking tonight, any earmarking of this revenue. You're just being apprised of the fact that you're having additional revenues that are coming on stream And with that, you'll be able to make this appropriation out of your general fund.
Very good. Thank you for that clarification. So then my other question is for the city manager. And if you could, I know part of the, I'll call it reporting requirements or reporting standards of the first two rounds of grants were that the recipients would provide a report back to the city as to how the funds were used. And I just want to make sure that that requirement would be included in this round of grants, and B, just to ask how folks are doing with their reporting. Are we seeing good compliance with that?
The answer to the second question is yes, we're seeing good compliance with that. The previous round, the previous grants had reports due at the end of September, and the current round at the end of December. We're seeing those coming in now, and this next round, as proposed, would have reporting coming in at the end of March.
Okay, very good. And so we're seeing that the recipients are providing the reporting back to the city. So if there's any questions as to the benefits that they're receiving from this funds, we have that for backup information.
That's correct.
Okay. Very good. So let's see if we have any members of the public that want to speak on this item tonight. I know we did have the executive director of the chamber, Jocelyn Brennan, who's on earlier, but I'm not sure if she was able to stay with us. So I'll check with our city clerk, see if Ms. Brennan was able to stay on the line.
Yes, Ms. Brennan still is on the line.
Very good. Then we'll go ahead and say good evening, Jocelyn, and see if you have public comments on this item.
Good evening, Mayor Lee and council members. I just wanted to, first of all, just express my gratitude on behalf of the business community and the South County Chambers and our board of directors that you're considering this item tonight and for the round one and round two of the previous grant. It has really helped the business community, and we haven't seen any business closures yet, and even, you know, in my mind, and I'm sure in yours, even one business closure would be one too many. And so these small micro grants are making, you know, a world of difference to the business community, and I just thank you for considering this tonight and for setting such a great example in our county. Many other cities have considered doing this now and have actually done it, because took the lead in this way, and so thank you, and I'm available for any questions.
Very good. Thank you for that. I did have just one quick question for you, Jocelyn, if I could. So I know I saw over the weekend that there was some outreach to the business community, and I'm sure we can get into comments and discussion about people's opinions and so forth on the governor's actions, but and being joined in with the Southern California region. What kind of response are you seeing and I'll call it pushback, I guess, from the business community towards the governor's efforts, and then also the governor's response back to the efforts of either trying to make San Luis Obispo County portion of a sub-region or to remove us from the region as a whole?
Yeah, I guess I would say, first of all, we have not heard back anything from the governor's office. The response was quite overwhelming from the business community. We had a sign up every 10 seconds, so we're over $2,000 or 2,000 responses yet. I almost said $2,000. I'm still thinking about the grant. We've had over 2,000 businesses sign up. I think the main concern, there's no doubt that these actions that the governor took are necessary because of the ICU capacity concerns. I think the business community felt that if our county continued to do better and the counties that we're grouped with continued to do worse, you know, that there was no flexibility there for our county. And so we've seen a lot of them sign up, and we'll continue to, you know, communicate with our local representatives, our SLO County representatives, public health, and the governor's office to see what happens moving forward. But we've seen a really high degree of compliance every step of the way from the Grover Beach business community, and I think we'll continue to see that.
Very good. Thank you for answering that question. Let's see by unmuting themselves if any members of the council have a question for you. Seeing no one unmute themselves, we'll say Mayor Pro Tem Bright, did you have a question?
Yes. Jocelyn, I received via email a petition to sign to go to the governor's office. I believe that was today, if I'm not mistaken. Do you have any updates on that or anything?
Yeah, so that went out Saturday to the business community in South County, and then the other chambers that had helped craft that petition went out from their chambers as well, and then the two wine associations, because, you know, the wineries had to close with this new regional stay-at-home order. We haven't had any response from the governor's office. I think the Board of Supervisors is discussing this as well tomorrow. And, you know, we're not, our expectations weren't high that we would get, you know, much of a response or much of a change. If, you know, these regional areas were set up as mutual medical aid areas, and so we support that. I think we just wanted to see a little bit more localization, but I don't know where that will go. But that is what I was referring to from Mayor Lee's question, that we do have over 2,000 businesses so far that have signed on.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you for that. Seeing Councilmember Shaw's, Councilmember Lance's microphone still muted, I'll go ahead and say thank you to Jocelyn for joining us this evening. And as we move forward with this item, I'm sure you'll be working with Mr. Bronson as well as all of us regarding any outreach that's necessary should we pass this initiative this evening. So I'll check in with our city clerk and see if there are any other members of the public on the line this evening.
No, we have no one else on the line.
Very good. Then I will go ahead and close public comment on this item and bring it back to the council for comments and deliberation slash direction to staff. So we'll start with Councilmember Shaw.
I'm just happy we're going to do this. And I was really happy and thankful for the update from the chamber that we have indeed not lost businesses yet. And I just want to do whatever we can to keep that from happening. I think local, as Councilmember Bright stated, local businesses are the lifeblood of our community. And without them, our local residents lose jobs and so on and so forth. So I'm just really thankful to the voters for doing this so that everything can come full circle and this support can get back where it needs to go. So it's a huge amount of money for our little town. And I think about that amount, even thinking about that amount of money, especially when I joined the council back in 2014, I wouldn't have even been able to fathom it. So I think it's a testament to a lot of people's hard work, especially our city manager. And I'm just glad that it can go back and supporting the community.
And Councilmember Lance.
Honestly, everything that's been said, I would be duplicating. I'm also very thankful to the voters for passing this. And I'm hoping that by injecting this money back into our businesses, that it is a testament of you know, the leadership that the city has on council and staff as well. With this additional $500,000, that will be $750,000 that our community is giving to the businesses for COVID-19 relief. And with a general fund of circa $13 million, that is an incredible amount. You know, a little town of 13,000 people, 14,000 people, to give $750,000 to its businesses in order to help them through this really, really tough time. It's just incredible. And I think that's a testament to our voters for believing in us to be able to do this. So thank you from that perspective. Thank you to staff, City Manager Bronson, for being proactive and identifying this as an opportunity. And I just hope that the business community acts quickly and gets their applications in so that we can roll this out. I've been part of the process for the first two rounds, and I can say that it's been such a I've been humbled to be a part of the process. I think it's been incredible to be able to be the bearer of good news in a time where there's a lot of bad news. And I know that who's ever part of the process moving forward will have that same experience. But I think it means a lot to our local businesses. And we have a lot of local businesses that are personal care services. We have, you know, salons and estheticians and massage therapists and makeup artists, and all these people have hardly been able to work during this time. And if they have been able to work, it's been very incrementally. They're on and then they're off again, and on and then off again. And it's really hard to run a business when it's so unpredictable. So I think that will be really helpful for those and additional people that are affected by the recent stay-at-home order. I guess that was a lot more than just duplicating what everybody else said, but thank you. I'm really proud to be on a council that's supportive of things like this, and I'm thankful to be part of it, even if it's only for one day. So I support it, and I can make a motion after people are done with their comments.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for those comments. So very well received and very well stated. So next we'll go to Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Well, I really don't think I can say much more than has already been said. I'm just so thankful that we are able to do this. We sure have come a long way. That's all I can say. But I am so glad that we are able to do this. And it is thanks to our residents who care, and to our staff and our city manager who is just so innovative. And so I won't take up any more time. I'm just so glad that we can do this. So there you have it.
Very good. So, and I'll just kind of echo all of those comments as well and say that I am supportive of the business grant assistance program, and thank the city manager for the update. I'll just add one or two more thoughts in the fact that I spent a lot of time on the phone this weekend and talking with business owners and folks who were very disappointed in the order, and realizing and even talking with some elected officials at the state level and also our League of California Cities representative, who basically all said, you can try tilting at windmills, but the governor doesn't really have an appetite to change the regions for various reasons, because of the public health connections, because of the statewide issues that he's dealing with. And so realizing that effort was going to be a long uphill climb, one that I think that the chamber and some other business organizations are very, very aptly poised or positioned to take on that avenue. But I think from a city standpoint, let's do something that we can do right now. And that's exactly what this business grant assistance program is intended to do. We have, as everyone has mentioned, the F20 funding through the general fund to be able to do this. So let's do what we've done in the past, and that is to take action and to take productive action and to move forward to help our businesses and to be supportive of our local residents and our local businesses in order to make sure that we get through the next 3 weeks, the next month, while we see the buy local and the shop local initiatives continue, and then hopefully, as the city manager mentioned, we have a vaccine or some other efforts coming forward in the new year that can kind of put the now normal back into whatever next normal becomes. So I think we've shown the ability to be productive. We've shown and action oriented, and I think this is just one more effort that we show that which makes the city residents and the businesses trust the fact that we can do good things with their funds and their money in order to make this a better place to live, work, and play. So with that, who's ready for a motion?
I will make a motion. I don't actually know the verbiage. I make a motion that we accept the business micro grant assistance program as presented by staff, allocating $500,000 towards the micro grant program for Grover Beach businesses. Is that okay?
I'll second.
Very good. We have a motion and a second. And so unless there's any other comments that people want to make, I'll turn to our city clerk for a roll call, please.
Councilmember Lance.
Yes.
Councilmember Shaw.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Yes.
Mayor Lee.
And yes, as well. So with that, City Manager, do you have enough direction from us this evening to carry out this action? Or it looks like you had a quick close here. So I'll turn it over to you for some closing comments.
You were turning to me as you were speaking, so I appreciate that, Mr. Mayor. And yes, direction received, a motion approved, and we will put this in a motion immediately. I'll thank Jocelyn Brennan once again for her partnership. This is a city chamber initiative, and Jocelyn's been a great partner to work with this. And thank you to the council for your policy leadership in approving $750,000 for grant assistance to our local business community. That's astounding, and your council is to be commended for that. Also, I always recognize that City of San Luis Obispo is doing something similar with their general revenues funded increase through their tax measure as well. So the two cities are working in tandem on ways to help support our business communities, and I want to credit San Luis Obispo for their work as well in this area. But thank you to the council for your commitment, and we will put this in motion immediately.
Very good. I definitely appreciate that, and the council appreciates that. And we will consider that item closed for this evening, and look forward to a announcement as early as tomorrow morning. So on that. So with that, that does take us to our second round of public communications, where I will invite folks to call in at 805-321-6639 to see if there's any member of the public that wants to address the council. And so I'll check in with our city clerk and see if anyone has joined us for public communications.
No, we have no one on the line.
Very good. Thank you for that. I will go ahead and close public communications and bring it back to the council for committee reports. And I'll start with Councilmember Lance as an opportunity to provide her final series of committee reports.
Thank you. I didn't even think about that. I had one meeting that I was able to join the first part of, Water Resources Advisory Committee meeting. Nothing really big to report. We discussed an ad hoc subcommittee for various projects, but other than that, I will say that the project that I voted no on last meeting due to a state water project that we just really didn't have any interest in as a agency did go to the board, and they did decide to participate in it. So that is what it is. And I don't think I have any other reports. Thank you.
Thank you for those reports, and we will say a proper thank you to you next week at our special meeting as well. So we'll look forward to seeing you for one more meeting, so as a council member. So next we'll turn to Councilmember Shaw, see what committee assignment reports she has to share.
Thank you. I had two or three committee meetings. I had an APCD, Air Pollution Control District Committee meeting. We went through the air pollution report from 2019, annual air quality report. So, of course, that's always interesting just to see how things are going with the dunes. And long story short, the remediations are working, but 2019 was also an extremely windy year, so it was hard to see those things working, but they are. Like, when you compare, break it down and compare apples to apples, the remediations are working. Things have definitely improved and will continue to improve. The next remediation that's planned to be put in this spring is 90 more acres of fencing and planting. So that is hopefully in the approval process right now. So the dust issue moves along. The other meeting I had was the encampment committee meeting of the Homeless Services Oversight Committee. We have a subcommittee of our subcommittee, if you can believe that, it's true, volunteering their time and coming up with a countywide solution to encampments so that everyone can work together. They've put in a ton of work, and they're going to be presenting a plan mid-December, which I'll be sharing with our city manager, just so everyone can know, you know, what they're coming up with. And we'll be working on that. We got a very positive report that I thought everyone would be interested in. You know, how many times have each of us been approached saying, you can solve homelessness by just building a bunch of tiny homes? I mean, I know I've been told about 100 times. And then I say, okay, give me the land. How about your backyard? And so that's been an ongoing discussion. And I think a lot of people know Becky Jorgensen of Hope's Village has been trying to create such a village for at least 5 years, probably closer to 10. And she came and announced at our meeting, she's got some land. She's got a 10-year lease from the Rossi Group, Bob Rossi, who I think is a prominent builder developer here. And she's working with the county now. So, and they will hopefully be able to license this village as they would a trailer park. It's kind of the same idea. So more to come on that, but I was very hopeful to see things that have been talked about for so long moving forward. And also just in that same meeting, we found out that our county applied for a waiver this year to the point in time count, which is where all homeless individuals are usually counted on one day in January. But it was just decided with so many things going on with COVID, lack of volunteers, we don't want to get an inaccurate count. So, because a lot of our funding, et cetera, is based on that. So we've applied for the waiver and hopefully we'll get it. We may still count individuals just so we can get the story out to the public as to what's going on. But that's what's going on. Warming centers are opening up with tons of COVID precautions and restrictions, but they are opening up. We will now have a warming center in South County. It will be at the South County Regional Center, and it will be open when it's 38 degrees or less or raining. There will be announcements on that on social media, etc. And just trying to see if there was quite a bit going on at that meeting. Oh, SLOCOG got an $84,000 request into the county, and it was granted for them to start working on safe parking for the homeless. So that was really good to have another agency jump in to help on that. So I think that was all. I also had the League leaders. This week is for League of Cities. This is very brief, but we once a year get together and talk about the goals and strategies of the League of Cities for a year. So it's usually boils down to 5 main points. And the consensus was we didn't really get to work on most of the points from last year. So probably So we had an initial meeting, and this week we're going to be kind of boiling that down and discussing, and I'll share with you the final goals and outcome. But we had a pretty interesting speaker just talking about state government and, you know, that the one area we are still moving forward in is homelessness and the Project Room Key and Project Home Key. And you can see that in our county with PASO suddenly in ECHO being able to buy a hotel in Paso that is going to be able to have about 60 units of affordable housing. And that just came out of nowhere because the funding was there. And I think this shows we have such awesome professionals in this community. If they just had money and they just had something to buy, they can do great things to solve this issue. So a lot of things are coming together with that. I was just seeing if there was anything said in the League of Cities briefing that was interesting to share, but I guess that about covers it. And I'll keep you posted on the League of Cities priorities for the year, where they fall. That's it. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for those reports. Oh, certainly. Councilmember Lance.
Previous years, though, and maybe you don't know the answer to this, so it's fine if you don't, but I noticed that the requirements for the warming center to be open have changed from 40 degrees to 38 degrees. I was curious if you knew who made that change and why, or if that's just something that kind of happened.
Yeah, that's a really good question, because I kind of wondered that too, and I didn't ask, but I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe it's something having to do with the forecasts or the level of freeze or, yeah, I don't know.
I'm sure Five Cities Homeless Coalition will make sure that people know, but I remember when I volunteered at the Warming Center one night, everybody was very, like, aware of the parameters and checking the weather to make sure it was, you know, 40 or below, so I just, you know, from a communication standpoint, but I was just curious. Thank you.
Yeah, it is difficult, and this year with COVID, there's going to be a lot of changes to, you know, they go around and pick people up on ride-on and return them to the where they were picked up, but this year, like, you can only have 3 people on a bus, so that's going to be something. Also, a lot of us always volunteer to cook dinner. Well, they can't take volunteer dinners. They're not going to do that anymore because it's just more volunteers and germs and whatever. So the meals will be made by 40 Prado and brought. But yes, there are a few things changing. And so I'm not exactly sure of that. But yeah, it may cause it to not be open quite as much. So.
Okay, thank you for those updates. Next, we'll go to Mayor Pro Tem Bright for her committee reports.
I'm already unmuted. Thank you. I had several, so I'll try to be brief. First was Zone 3, Flood Control and Water Conservation District. First of all, I'd like to say that Ron Riley took the member spot that was vacated by Mr. Gehring, and I have to say that his first meeting, he just did a marvelous job. It's amazing how much information and how knowledgeable those men are. So I'm just so pleased that he's there. So they are still talking about the terminal dam decommissioning, and I don't know exactly where they're going to go with that, but whatever they do, it's going to be incredibly expensive either way. So there'll be more to come on that, and I will keep you apprised of how that goes. Then I had SLOCOG and RTA. SLOCOG was the highlights of the SLOCOG were. Let's see if I can find my notes here. Pardon me, just a moment. We discussed the Coast Rail plan. This is a study that's looking at local commuter rail feasibility. They're still a few months away from the financial estimates for the commuter rail. They're looking at a couple of different options.
One would be both of the options, though, include our Grover Beach station. So either way, we are involved. So it'll be good for us, our town, one way or the other. The study is due to be completed in June of 21. So I'll keep my eyes and ears open, and I'll keep you apprised of that as well. What else? The Highway 101 PISMO project, we did not receive a recommendation for the Cycle 2 funding. However, they weren't real concerned about that because there are the next cycle comes along pretty soon, and the CTC, the Elect Concept, and SOLCOG will be meeting with them next week. So I believe they think that they have a good chance of being funded in the next cycle. And if so, they feel that the construction will only be delayed by 6 months. There is some question about, apparently there are sound walls that they believe will be required. And the city of Pismo, that goes against their general plan and some ordinances there where it would obstruct the views of the ocean. So they're real concerned about that. However, there were some calls from the residents who live near the freeway saying they want the sound walls. So they're going to have to work that out a bit. But there seem to be some good alternatives with clear sound walls that I guess are in place down south, San Diego Way, and in that area that I guess work pretty well. So apparently they'll be able to work that out. They're working on an active transportation plan, which is walking and biking. So that's coming along. And fiscal audit, all clean. So I guess that's it for SLOCOG. And then RTA, same thing with their audit. I mean, they don't even do an MD&A, neither one of those organizations, which I've never seen such a thing, but apparently that's pretty common in both those organizations. So, but there were no findings in either one of the organizations there. So our RTA, the South County Transit consolidation is done or will be. It's passed, so it will no longer be South County Transit. They will be part of RTA. I think that's pretty much, well, and you discussed the parking part of the piece, Miriam. So, there have been no COVID-19 cases at all traced to the county transit system whatsoever, which I find to be really remarkable. I think I'll just leave it at that. So thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you for those updates. I just had two minor ones myself, one of which is the Five Cities Fire Authority. While we didn't have a meeting specifically, there was a public unveiling of the all-terrain emergency response vehicle that was paid for predominantly by local grant funds and a memorial contribution from the parents and the family of Slow Stringer, Matthew Franks. So that was last week, and there was some good coverage on KSBY for that. And then we did have a meeting in the South Slow County Sanitation District where no specific action was necessary except for redundancy items. And so there's moving towards a award of the contract later this month, and then hopefully a notice to proceed on the redundancy project in January. So those are the two quick updates there. And I think we will, we've already had an update from Miriam on the League of California Cities. So that'll take us to council communications. Let's start with Councilmember Lance. So any council communications this evening?
No council communications for me. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Well, next we'll go to Councilmember Shaw.
I just want everyone to please try to stay safe. I'm so sick of staying home, but stay home. It's really, really hard, but please just stick with it. I think right now our business owners are paying the price for things that maybe we all wanted to do during Thanksgiving that maybe we shouldn't have done. And I'm just trying to be as careful as I can. And I think nobody brags when they get COVID, but this is definitely in our community. I think if you don't know someone who has it or has had it, you very soon will. And I have friends in other states, and right now I have two friends with parents that have it. I have a friend whose grandfather died of it today. It's everywhere. So it's really hard, but please do your best to leave spaces in the hospital for people that need them, even if you may not end up in there with COVID. You may get hit by a car or something. You're going to want there to be beds. So please, it's really, really hard, especially at the holidays, but let's all just keep doing our best.
Well said. So yes, next we'll turn to Mayor Pro Tem Bright for any council communications.
Well, you're going to be sorry you asked, but here we go. Well, first, I did get from Rob Doty. He had commented and complimented on repairs on Nacimiento. He said that they were looked great, and so I wanted to let council and staff know how appreciative the neighbors are of that gutter work that was done there. So please, Matt, and I don't know if we have any other staff there, but if you would please let anyone who needs to know that they are very appreciative of the work that's been done there so far. And then I did get a letter from John Wysong, and he would like me to relay that he is not supportive of any new projects on El Camino until there is some sort of traffic calming measures done at Brighton and Oak Park due to the increased traffic that will be created, he believes, by those new projects. Then the Holiday of Lights, I understand, if I can just confirm this, that there will be on our website how to nominate someone for the Holiday of Lights. If, I guess when I'm all done, I imagine that staff can answer these questions for me, I suppose. Is that correct, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you. Then in our neighborhood, in my neighborhood, I think it was today's Monday. Must have been at the end of last week. When you're retired, all the days roll together. Someone came through and tossed phone books or like phone books in everybody's driveway. And some of the people here are not pleased about that, because there are a lot of folks who are part-time residents. So if their phone book doesn't get picked up, if a neighbor doesn't go and pick it up, it sits there and sits there. And so there are a number of ramifications to that. It's certainly evidence that nobody's there. So anywho, I'm wondering if there's something we can do about that. Is that not littering? Is there an ordinance against that? Can anybody just drive down the street and throw anything they want out the window into your yard? So I'm hoping that maybe Matt can address that somehow. If there is something, if we can talk about that a bit. This is my confession. I was rushing to go somewhere, and I ran into Foster's to order some donuts and sweet stuff. And so I'm pointing out what I want and what I want, and people are kind of looking at me. They're all lined up out the door. And when I went to pay, I realized I did not have a mask on. And so the few people that are in the store, they're looking at me, and I realize I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't have my mask on. And the lady inside said, it's okay. And I said, no, I've got it. Anyway, nobody said anything to me. And so I would like to say, please say something. You know, tell the idiot that they're not wearing a mask, or just say, do you know you don't have your mask on? And I said, why didn't you say something? You know, like it's their fault I'm not wearing my stupid mask. But I just want people to know that there are people like me that just jump out of the car, run in wherever they're going, and really forget to put the darn thing on. So I'm just saying, there are people like me that do forget. And so, you know, please say something like, did you know you're not wearing your mask? Because people don't. There are people that forget. And I'm telling you, I stood there feeling like I wasn't wearing my pants. It was just horrible. I was mortified. I was so mortified in there without my mask on. Anywho, so those are my council communications and my confession.
Thank you very much for that. I just have two very quick ones, and then I'll turn it over to staff to address your comments. And then also just to say, yes, you never know when someone either has a health condition for as a reason not to wear a mask, or they've just been absent-minded enough, because I've done it as well, to not wear a mask into a business. So no public shaming, nothing of that nature, just a gentle question of, did you forget something? So type of thing might be an appropriate question. So but my council communications are just a big thank you to the community on Giving Tuesday. There was a Five Cities Homeless Coalition fundraiser at Finn's, which always does a magnificent job of donating all of the proceeds of what they would have made that evening. Fabulous food. They donated upwards of $17,000 in this year's Giving Tuesday campaign. So big thank you to the Finn's restaurant and their staff, and all the volunteers of the Five Cities Homeless Coalition that make that possible. And then you might see around town, going back towards the South County Transit or the RTA efforts, you might see some bus decals on the side of buses, and there's a number of them that have to do with recycling and the reuse and recycling of materials in the community. And the one for Grover, if I get it correct, says recycling makes the Grover grow fonder. And so a lot of them are, there's one for Roy Grande, there's one for Pismo, there's one for the Dunes. But you will see some personalized bus decals on the RTA buses, advertising and encouraging recycling in the community. So with that, those are my council communications, and I'll turn it over to the city manager or Ms. Petker for responses to Mayor Pro Tem Bright's questions/comments.
I'll go ahead and respond, Mr. Mayor. Just first, thank you for the comment on Nacimiento. I was actually going to cover that in my city manager's report, so it's good to hear the feedback from the community about those improvements. The cross gutter work there is complete, or just about complete, and it's a great improvement for drainage and just the overall aesthetics at the corner of Nacimiento and 12th Street. Holiday light applications, you can send in your photo and video to, I believe, GB Parks at groverbeach.org by December 16th. So that's on our website, and people can submit their information through that means. On the phone books, I don't know the answer to that. I know that phone books are delivered in various places and generally end up in recycling folders. I know in my household that's the case, so I don't have an answer for what happens with phone books that are delivered when we don't ask for them at our residences. And then lastly, on the masks, I would just agree with the earlier comments that we're all doing our best, and gentle reminders of what we need to do is always appreciated.
Council, I can answer your question, I think, in regards to the phone books. I'll preface my comments by saying this is 30 seconds worth of research, but there is a California case dealing with a city ordinance that banned the distribution of the Yellow Pages, and they were challenged under constitutional rights of free speech. And the court upheld the ordinance that banned the distribution of Yellow Pages. Since it's 30 seconds of research, I can't tell you why the court did it and on what grounds. There is a fairly lengthy case discussion about First Amendment free speech rights and what is granted and not granted to what is considered commercial speech, which this is. But I want to say that I'm probably reasonably certain we could approach that issue probably with some kind of limitations if you wanted to.
So perhaps from that perspective, maybe the city manager and the city attorney can do 3 minutes of research or 5 minutes of research and see if it's something that that's worth coming back to the council with that, if there's consensus for that.
I'd like just a little bit longer than that, but I think
very good. Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, I'm just wondering, why doesn't everybody just throw their advertising out the window into your driveway? You know? Anyway.
Let us not encourage that. So, but from that perspective, unless there's any other council communications, we'll turn it over to the city manager for his reports and comments.
Thank you. And actually, my first item was regards to public works projects. And so we've already touched on the Nacimiento project. Great work there. We have two street projects that are in progress right now. One that is under construction now, and that is on North 8th Street, South 9th Street, and 14th Street. So we'll see a lot of demolition work taking place on those three different street segments, and that's a 16 blocks worth of street projects right there. And then our next project after that is 22 blocks of improvements around Grover Beach Elementary School, a number of streets around there that is in design right now. And so that'll come back to the council for review and construction award in 2021. Property owners are receiving notices now about the project and the opportunity to partner with the city on private improvements on their property by virtue of our contractor. So that's our typical process, and that's underway right now with that project. Also, we're about to go to bid for intersection improvement work at North Oak Park and Grand, which is part of the council discussions around Oak Park Boulevard. That'll include lane reconfiguration, changing the signal timing, and other improvements around that intersection. So that'll be coming back to the council for award of contract and then staff execution shortly. And then on that note, we are coming back to the council in January on South Oak Park improvements. We received direction back in May about how to encompass different design elements to that project, from the travel lane to the bike lane to the parking to the medians. And so we'll be coming back to the council in January with some refined design options, cost estimates to seek final direction from the council so that we can begin moving forward with this very important major regional street that we have to repair. So more to come on that. Now, I'll close with something fun. We know we're embarking on our utility box artwork, and our next one was just completed a couple of days ago on the corner of Grand Avenue and 9th Street. It is the Octopus utility box art right in front of Mechanics Bank. It's an amazing design, so intricate, so detailed, and just a nice illustration of art in our community. So that's our third box that's completed. Our next one is coming shortly at 4th and Grand, and then other boxes from there. So a nice little glimpse into what we have accomplished. And a year ago, this meeting, Council authorized the designs to go forward. COVID kind of got in the way in implementing them, but now, a year later, we have three boxes down and many more to come.
Very good. Thank you. And thank you for that that comment. And as the Octopus utility box was coming forward, I actually happened to run into a young family whose young son was dragging around an octopus as they were walking down the street. And I mentioned that if they walked up to Grand and Ninth, that he would be able to see a utility box. And just the little boy's face just kind of lit up. You can kind of see how happy he was that there was going to be an octopus or a squid on a utility box. So hopefully the parents got a chance to go by there. So one quick question for the city manager before I turn it over to the city attorney is, I heard a rumbling rumor that the Central Coast Blue application in front of the county last month was appealed to the Coastal Commission. Have we gotten confirmation of that? By chance, do you know, Mr. Bronson?
Yes, that is correct. The county's approval of the test injection wells on county property in Oceano, adjacent to Grover Beach, which the county board approved unanimously, was appealed to the California Coastal Commission and will be heard, I believe, in February.
Okay, very good. So I appreciate that update, as that will delay further discussion on our part, I would imagine, for Central Coast Blue items until after that item is resolved, along with some other CEQA-related items. So with that, I'll turn it over to the city attorney and see if he has any reports and comments this evening.
None this evening.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for those comments. And we'll turn over back to him for closed session, which it looks like we have none this evening.
No. Very good. Not at all.
Good. Then with that, unless there is any other action before us this evening, that anyone wants to share any comments, we are adjourned. Thank you, everyone. We will see you next week for the special meeting. Have a good night. Thank you.